It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast. And we are here down in the dumps, not feeling good right now. Yanks making us all cry. It's all bad vibes right now. But you know what? We are going to attempt to find at least a hair of positivity. But before that, we are going to rant. So be prepared. Tom, Eddie, how you guys doing?
I'm well, but the Sox, can we not lose?
Losing's not good. I don't think it's a good strategy for winning. Hot take.
Like, stop losing.
I'm not a fan of it. I'm really not. But on a positive note, the rest of the AL East is dog shit outside of Boston so far.
Yep. Yeah, we'll try and dig out a few positives. There's a lot of negatives, though, that I'm sure we're going to harp on a lot today.
Oh, we are going to dive into it all. I have many, many thoughts. I mean, I did not expect this at all. I knew even when we did the first episode, like, things felt a little off, despite us not having necessarily a bad record. But now the results are starting to match what I've seen on the TV so far. And it's not good. I mean, whether it's the lineup or the rotation. Right now, the only part of this team that's making me happy is the bullpen, and that's it. And Gerrit Cole, because Gerrit Cole's Gerrit Cole. But it's been a rough sight for this entire team so far. And it's just so confusing, man. I never have seen the lineup so lost in my entire life. Like, and I'm talking about... I've been watching this team consistently since 2013, and I saw the 2014 squad, 2015 squad with the McCanns and Beltrons of the world. And even that team, I don't think they ever quite looked as lost as this team has for the last 11 games at any point, which is nuts. It's nuts.
This team sucks.
Let's be honest. It's not going to last. This bad.
Keeping Jay Bruce above Gio Urshela, and it may last longer.
And that is part of a bigger discussion I will get to later, but I'll save it for now.
Firing Aaron?
Okay.
Is that the discussion?
I'll just get into it now.
We have convinced him.
I am not going to say I want to fire Boone because that's irrational after 10, 11 games, whatever the hell it's been. But I will be perfectly honest. In the time he's been here, I cannot say that he has improved as a manager. There was a slight period where I thought he did, actually, but that may have been more indicative of the team's success rather than him personally as a manager improving. And just looking at the decision-making, the vibe of this team, it's not a player change that's needed entirely. Although there's some changes you can make on the roster, but that's not what I'm getting into. It's management. It's the upper brass. That's where the issues are. Because straight up, ownership does not care about the regular season. They're entitled. They assume that they're going to be in the postseason. And they don't care about the way they handle it. And you could just tell in the decision-making in games. I mean, this was a small thing, but it's pretty telling. Just look at the last game we saw when Jay Bruce is batting in the what, seventh, eighth inning, DJ LeMahieu's on the bench. You also have Stan on the bench. And none of them came in. None of them came in late in the game in, when they were only down like one run. One run. What, you're telling me one of those guys was not important? It was not important enough to bring in one of those guys to give you a shot at tying this game up and giving you the lead to win when your team is completely struggling? You're telling me that's not important enough? If that's the case, Aaron Boone, go fuck yourself, because you do not understand the game of baseball. And it's not a formula for winning. You don't just go through the regular season not caring. I'm not going to say it's more important than the postseason, but if you go into the fucking postseason with this kind of vibe and carry that in, it's going to be a catastrophe. It makes no sense. Right. I am just tired of this guy right now and this fucking bullshit, because he lies to us consistently. And before I accepted it, but I'm not taking it anymore. It's crazy. From injury to injury, it's just bullshit. And even just the storylines, you know, oh, Gary Sanchez, you know, he's going to catch Cole. Nope. No pick, he's catching Cole. You know, I think they're both going to catch him a fair amount. Well, you basically just said that Higgy was going to catch him more now after saying Sanchez is going to be his main catcher. So that was bullshit. You said Clint Frazier's a starting left fielder. Look at him now. He's on the bench, and it's a clear platoon situation. I bet you Gardner's going to play more games than Clint all year, which is a formula for failure in left field. And I like Gardy, so I'm going to tell you right now, this team is a fucking mess, and not just because of the players. It's because of Boone and ownership. And I'm fucking disgusted.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, that was great.
I mean, is there any part of that that's irrational?
Not really.
I mean, if this like approach worked, that we don't care about the regular season and we won the World Series, and I would say, you know what, go ahead, do whatever the hell you want. But I mean, it's clearly failing. Like, the sad truth is, I think in terms of roster talent, I think the 2017 team, out of 17 through, let's just say 20, because I'm not going to pass a judgment on this season yet, I think 2017 was probably the least amount of talent we've had on a roster. That's fair to say, right?
2019 had all the injuries, but once everyone got healthy.
But they were back for the playoffs, so we still lost.
Yeah,
I would say that in 2017, it's a cultural thing, honestly. And I mean that. It's all about the culture and vibe of the team. And you look at that 2017 team, they just had fun playing baseball, and they never took anything for granted. You know why? Because I can tell you exactly why. They went into that season not expecting to get that far. And that's exactly what it was. There was no entitlement. It was a team full of young guys and veterans that came in mid-season that blended really well. And they were the underdogs. For once, the Yankees went into the postseason as the underdogs. And I still remember, everybody was actually on their side around baseball, not just Yankees fans. And that's so rare. It was just a very different team that just, they understood the game right. And you had Joe Girardi managing, and obviously some people didn't love Girardi's decisions always at times with the bullpen. But with that said, the guy was a good fucking manager, and he took us almost to the World Series. And if you take out the Astros bullshit and their scandal, they might have made it there. And I'm going to be honest, I still stand by it. We would have beat the Dodgers that year. I promise you, we would have beat LA, which makes it all the more frustrating. And since then, we have only gotten worse when you look at ownership, the way it's being handled, and just the overall culture of the guys on this team. And it's sad. It really is sad, because you look around the league, everyone's having fun, and the Yankees, they're just it's another day at the office for them, and that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eddie, would you like to go first?
Yeah.
I'll go for it.
There's that perspective of it, too, with Boone, who, you know, I liked him in 2019. I thought he did a solid job. 2018, again, that's why I was
very nice to see what
Boone has. Yeah, he was good in 2019. Last year, it was horrible. I think the playoffs, I still am just have a horrible taste in my mouth over Mike Ford. And then he's not a good start this year. I'm not liking it.
So do I.
Yeah.
And, it's not even Boone's decisions so much yet. Because he hasn't had too many opportunities to make bad decisions. But it's just the vibe he's giving off right now is just so whatever happens, happens. And it's horrible.
Yeah. And another thing with Boone that pisses me off, or whoever picks the lineups, what is the obsession? I hate having to have a lefty hit third all the time. Like, I don't think it has to be a requirement every single lineup, you know?
I know.
Like, Hicks was doing horrible. I don't want him between Judge and Stanton. It's bases, or let's say first and second, or second and third, and Judge is up, and Hicks is behind him. I mean, it's a very simple choice. I'm getting Judge right over to first base and taking my chances with Hicks. I mean, why pitch to Judge when you have Hicks hitting third? Or maybe you have Stanton. I can't even say Glaber right now because he hasn't been good either. But if you have Stanton hitting behind them, then, oh, well, we can't walk Judge. We have Stanton behind him, not Hicks. Put some fear into these pitchers. But spreading them out with Hicks. I mean, if we had a great lefty to put there, I would say, okay, fine.
Exactly.
I mean, don't just throw a lefty there because you have to.
Get 100%. You're totally right, Eddie. I cannot even disagree with you a little bit, because that's exactly what they're thinking right now. We need a lefty to get that in the lineup and have that mix and match ability. But the thing is, though, Cashman has said for years, it doesn't matter if we have an all righty lineup. It doesn't matter at all. If they can hit righties, then who cares? They'll take it the other way, Oppo to the short porch, and it makes no difference. But clearly, they don't even believe their own bullshit, because they are putting in a lefty in the three hole simply because he's a lefty. Originally, I bought into the whole Aaron Hicks narrative of, oh, you know, he never grounds out in the double plays and he's a good fit there. And you know what? That kind of made sense in my head. I understood it. But with that said, the fact that they constantly, when he's not in the lineup, who's batting third? Brett Gardner. It's Brett Gardner. That tells you all you need to know. That answers it right there. They care about getting a lefty in that three spot. And if they really want a lefty so bad, go sign Corey Seager next offseason. But until then, fucking deal with it and put a righty there, because you need the best hitters in the best possible spots. And right now, Aaron Hicks is not the best hitter. He's not.
Yeah, they don't. They really just, like, stop doing that, please. Like, my God. Like, I just don't get it. You know, I just don't get it. It doesn't compute how Brett Gardner, right? He's not good enough to be your starting left fielder, but he's good enough to hit third for you on the days that he plays. Also that lefty balance stuff is why Gio was hitting behind Jay Bruce on the other day.
Yeah, a horrible decision.
And it's like. Jay Bruce came up with second and third, one out, struck out. Gio picked him up and got that base hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just about putting your best players in the situations in which you want, you know, in which you're going to actually have chances to score runs. I'm not a genius per se, but what I will say is that I would rather have Gio Urshela play baseball than Jay Bruce play baseball. And it may be my hottest take ever. It may be. But this is bullshit.
Have a semi-hot take. Cashman is a bit of a moron. A bit. Just a bit.
You know what? You want to know something? You want to know something? I have a little bit of a rant. A little bit.
Go for it.
I hate when Brian Cashman gets a new toy, right? Like Jay Bruce, right?
And he will not let it go? He
just won't admit that this dude is cooked. This guy's been cooked for... what, 3 years now? He doesn't do anything. He's not even a first baseman. You're just sticking an outfielder at first base, batting him, you know, sixth, seventh, expecting him to hit dingers. Doesn't hit dingers. Does he, like, what does he do? He can't make contact with the ball. He's one of those players where he's got only one swing, right, where he'll swing. He has the same bat path on every swing.
Yep.
So it's just like, this is not the type of player that the Yankees should want. I don't even care that he's left-handed. He's just not a good fit for this team. He's not a good fit for pretty much any team. You want to know why? Because he's bad. But, like, if he wants to be a Colorado Rocky or something, go for it. But, like, this sucks, man. And especially when you have a clear better option in Mike Ford right now, and you just won't give him a chance. And Mike Ford's cheaper, has more life in that bat.
I hate Mike Ford, but I'll watch him over Bruce.
No, you know, Mike Ford had a bad year last year. Let's not sugarcoat things, but so did Talkman. Yeah, let's not sugarcoat things. But, like, come on.
I mean, to be fair,
2019 was
it
not
could be
enough.
Like Talkman. It could be a Talkman-like situation. Listen, where the year threw him off.
If Talkman can adequately play first base, he has to be in there over Bruce. This is just ridiculous. And you get to keep the lefty bat in there. Great. But, like, this is ridiculous with Jay Bruce.
Well, yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's not even like Bruce is an actual first baseman.
He's not even competitive.
He can't field. The only thing he can do is throw hard because he's an outfielder. And we've seen that come into play maybe twice, but, like, in general, no one gives two shits if you have a strong arm at first base. What the main thing you want to see is that they know how to pick a baseball. But guess what? Bruce can't pick a baseball for his life. He's horrible at it.
He's horrible at everything. He's horrible at life. Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
I hate him. With a burning passion. I hate him. I don't like him.
Guys,
I don't like him.
I think we need to hop on the Chris Gittens train. Excuse me.
Oh, my God, yes. I love Chris Gittens. You know what? I'm going to hop on. I have liked him for a long time, honestly. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I've known him for years. Like, I've kept track of him. And he's always had big-time power. He's an actual first baseman. He's a big dude. I mean, I would enjoy seeing him get a shot. It won't happen. It won't. But I would enjoy it a lot. It sucks. It sucks. Because he's actually a good hitter. Like, I bet you if you put him in the majors, he will, at the very least, outperform Jay Bruce and hit some bombs on occasion.
You know, a dry shit could outperform Jay Bruce. All right?
That is true.
That fucker has nothing left, and they keep playing him. I almost feel bad for Jay Bruce. This is almost elder abuse. All right? This is ridiculous. Stop playing Jay Bruce. Release Jay Bruce. Cut Jay Bruce. Call it Ford. And then, you know, whatever happens with Ford happens, I don't care. Just get Jay Bruce out of here. At least I know Mike Ford will compete. You know, like, he'll compete. And, you know, he's got pop. He's got a lot of pop. If he played a full season in the major leagues, he'll probably hit 30-plus homers. And he walks. And he's an actual first baseman. All right. And he's left-handed, too. If you want your three-hitter, if you want a three-hitter, there you go. That's Mike Ford. Maybe. I don't know. Just fucking don't play Jay Bruce anymore. This is ridiculous.
At least Luke Voit's going to be back in a couple weeks. I mean, he ain't too far off. Like, he's probably 3 weeks.
He's on my shit list, too.
Luke Voit?
Yeah, he's on my shit list. I'll tell you why.
Oh, well, fuck you. But okay, continue.
Well, let's think about it this way. Going back to spring training last month, right? Dude has a knee injury, right? Hurt his knee, did something to his knee. The fucker was trying to take extra bases in spring training games like he was fucking Ricky Henderson.
He wasn't smart, but he's not on my fucking shit.
And you weren't careful with it. You cost your team a month of baseball games because he's a really good baseball player. And he would be very useful by now. But no, he had to act like a big fucking meathead, fucking slipping and sliding all over the place during spring training. I don't know if it tore the meniscus. I don't know if the meniscus was already torn. But still, bad optics, buddy. Bad optics. And I swear to God, if he did make it worse, oh my God.
Because I'm going to be honest. I think you're gassing it a bit.
He
you're gassing this a bit.
A month and potentially a month and a half of actual good first base play.
I'm willing to bet that made no difference.
I really hope it didn't. Because if
I'm willing to bet it didn't. He felt that before then anyway, and he kept playing afterwards. He said he felt fine. I guarantee you he was going to get this fucking surgery regardless.
Everyone feels fine until they're making a decision to go under the knife.
Yeah, and my point is, even if he didn't fucking slide, I guarantee he was going to get that damn surgery.
That's a flesh wound. I'm feeling good right now. Oh, last day of spring training. Oh, shit. I'm going to go get surgery. Motherfucker probably shouldn't have been slipping and sliding all over the field, right? Yo.
Yes, I'm so upset that the guy who led the team in home runs. Oh, yeah.
That's the frustrating part, Luke, is that he fucking is actually good.
Yeah, and he actually is good on like half the fucking team right now.
Right now.
Oh my God, grow up, dude. Come on now.
Would he not be very useful right now?
No shit, he'd be fucking useful, but you're acting as if that fucking slide is what caused the injury when it's not what caused the injury.
How do we know? How do we know?
You're no fucking doctor. Come on now. You don't fucking
neither are you.
No.
Neither are you.
No.
Neither
and you're assuming. You. I'm not assuming. I'm stating
assuming.
What we know.
We're assuming. We're all assuming. So if Boone can lie, Voight can lie, we all can lie. That was a Rocky reference, by the way, Eddie. I hope you caught
I
that.
I like it.
Thank you.
I did.
I just wanted to get on your side so you'd take my side. This is like Civil War, Captain America Civil War. I'm Team Cap. He's Team Iron Man because he's clearly wrong.
Well, Iron Man's also cooler, but okay.
Yeah, sticking up for the government, aka the Yankees. I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter. But yeah, I'm right. Luke's wrong. And
you are very wrong. Luke Voight is gonna be a big part of this team this
year. Well, no shit, he's gonna be a big part of this team. He's the starting first baseman who just led the league in homers last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, bat him third when he gets back. Thank you.
There are a lot of other people that are on my shit list before Luke fucking Voight.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
He's on the shit list by association of having to play Jay Bruce. So, like, Jay Bruce is the effect of Luke Voight. All right?
I would argue that Jay Bruce is the stupidity of the Yankees.
That too, because they clearly have Mike Ford, and they just won't call him up.
And they don't even need to play Jay Bruce. They can easily just stick with DJ at first and keep playing Odor at second, but clearly they want to get
Odor,
Bruce into the lineup.
Odor has been too
impressive. No, but I would rather watch him over Jay Bruce any day of the week.
Yeah,
I would rather watch my fucking foot get cut off without any sort of medication, then watch Jay Bruce take another at bat from the New York Yankees. He is bad. He sucks.
Yes.
He's the worst. I hate him. And that's where I'm gonna leave it. Call up Mike Ford. I'm tired of it. Just call up Mike Ford. Mike Ford is actually a good baseball player. He just had a bad year last year, and so did just about most people. Okay, I'm not gonna hold 2020 against Mike Ford. All right,
I would not consider Ford a lock to be good. I'm not saying he can't be. He definitely can't be.
He is a lock. He is a lock to show fight.
Be fair, the guy only had success in 2019, and before that, he was a 27-year-old minor league baseball player. I'm not saying he couldn't have figured it out. He totally could have. But it's something you got to keep in mind. Flukes happen in baseball. He very easily could have had a fluke year.
I disagree.
Well, again, I'm not saying I agree one way or the other. I'm just saying it's something to keep in mind at the very least.
Mm-hmm. I like baseball.
I do too, but I would like it more if the team didn't suck.
All right. Can I talk about something? Because I have Something that's been boiling inside.
Yeah, get it off your chest, whatever you're thinking.
All right. Let's think about the rotation, right?
I was going to get to that next. Perfect.
The verdict is still out on the guys that we got. But I'll tell you who the verdict is in on. Lance Lynn is good.
At
baseball. I can say that confidently. I cannot say that confidently about Corey Kluber or Jameson Taillon as of yet. But as of now, I can say Lance Lynn is good. And I cannot say that he was a $25 million player. I can say that he was $1 million cheaper than Corey Kluber was. And he is not a Yankee. So I'm not happy about that still. I wasn't happy about it then. And the early results have made me a bit unhappier about that. And yeah, I mean, it's just frustrating. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this, because I hope you guys agree with me.
I have thoughts. I would say that I've been thinking about this a lot. Cashman definitely fucked up. I'm not going to say his plan failed yet, because it's too early to say he failed. He could have made a good set of moves here, despite us not having good results yet. But with that said, it doesn't mean it's the right move just because they end up being good players. The smart move clearly should have been Lynn and another piece. And that piece could have been Taillon still. Like, if you get Lynn and Taillon, it totally changes things, because you're looking at one lock in the rotation to be very good and one guy who you think is going to be good later and is a work in progress. That's very different from two works in progress along the season that you're hoping are going to stay healthy, which I think they will. But God only knows. Let's pray for that. But with that said, Cashman fucked up. He fucked up bad. It's clear. And it's another example of him not knowing how to build a rotation, because he never does. Ever.
It's been a problem for many years. And, I'm really just problem. Like, you can have one project, but you can't have two, especially in a championship window. I think we're seeing that.
Herman.
Don't forget Herman.
He's not really a project. He's just like an idiot. So,
it's not good.
He's a project in the sense of they're trying to unlock his potential as a pitcher, and they have no idea what they're getting out of him. That was the plan with him going into the season. So he was technically a project.
So. I don't know. Fucking stop with the projects. Just like, it's very clear that Brian Cashman hasn't had the great track record with starting pitching, to say the least. So like, when you're not great at something, what you do is you find players that have already proven themselves to be healthy and good, and you do what you have to do to get those players. You don't wait on prospects like Davey and Schmidt. You just go out and get what you need. I like Davey, I like Schmidt, but Schmidt's what, 25 now? Davey's what, fucking
I'm out on Schmidt. Davey's
in his early 20s, but like, he's undersized. He throws what, he maxes out at about 96-97. Right, but he's usually in the low 90s with a looping curveball. It's good stuff, but it's not the stuff that makes you say, "Oh my God, this guy has to be a Yankee for the next 10 years." He's tradable.
And you know what part of the problem is too? Cashman, with all these prospects he has, he like holds on to them because he's this big prospect talker, but then he never actually fucking uses them, like ever. Like, look at Schmidt. The guy's 26 years old. 26, and his value is only going to go down from here unless he has major league success. Like, let's be honest about it. It's not going to go up. He's at a late age. Next year he's going to be 27. You know how late, like, at that point you're not a prospect in the eyes of other teams and executives. You're not. You're just an old minor league player with some upside, and there's a big difference there. There's a very big difference. And you look at Garcia too. He's young, but with that said, I am willing to bet that he does not even get a chance this year and barely gets one next year, because the Yankees want to fuck with his service time. That's all the Yankees ever care about.
Let's play with this guy's service time so we can have him let longer at a cheaper price. And then it never fucking matters anyway because they never use them. And by the time they do use him, he's old and he has to figure out how to pitch in the majors at a late age already. So by the time he does figure it out, God knows how old he's going to be at that point. I mean, his management with these prospects is just so fucking horrible, man. Man, this really is a rant episode.
Fucking this. This is not a fun episode, isn't it?
Should we get into the positives? No,
there aren't any. No, I'm kidding.
I can give you a few.
Let me say one more thing.
Gary's good.
Let me just go one more thing about the
rotation.
And now I'm trying to remember what I was going to say again. Now I can't even remember. We were talking about, oh, right, the prospects. Okay. First of all, poorly managed the prospects. And in terms of our rotation, I mean, congrats, you got Garrett Cole. Anyone, again, as Tom said, you have to find proven guys. Not saying everyone has to be $300 million, but when a cheap, good option like Lance Lynn is on there, and he's available only for prospects, which, I mean, we don't have the greatest system, but I think we could have met the price for Lance Lynn. Cashman has to be the smartest guy in the room and outthink everyone else and says, you know what, instead of having the guy who's been – who we had on our team that we let go. Not saying that I wanted him back either, but I didn't like Hat. But anyway, besides that, Cashman has to be the smartest guy in the room and go with the low upside pitching move, which never works because he can't find a good pitcher for his life. That's not $300 million. So frustrating. Get better, Brian.
You're right. He needs to get better. It's a real problem, and it's going to be what holds this team back from winning a World Series if we don't win this year. And it's going to be... I'm not going to say our window's closing because we don't know what the Yankees are going to do with their players nearing free agency. But if certain guys leave, I mean, I guess you can say it's the end of a certain chapter, though, in this Yankees history. I mean, a lot of guys could be gone, and the team's going to look very different in a couple years. And the Yankees got to make some moves before we get to that point because – who knows what's going to happen? If you don't get adequate replacements, this team could easily get worse, and that's the last thing we need right now. I mean, you're going to bank on Seve right now. You really need to bank on him doing great later this year. That's a scary plan. It's a really scary plan, and I think it could work to clarify, but that is a lot of pressure to put on a guy coming back from Tommy John to be your number two starter, and that might be what they have to ask of him. Like, it really might be, and that's a lot to ask. Like, I was hoping you were asking to be your number three, maybe, or even number four, depending on how things panned out. But now that's not even remotely a thought if things continue as they are. So let's hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, Seve coming back is obviously incredibly exciting. We know Seve's awesome, but there is going to be rust.
He's
going
to be good.
I think he'll be good, but, you know, there will be rust, and he won't be able to go deep into games. The bullpen's going to get taxed still. All right, so you're going to have Taillon, who probably won't go deep into the game as much this year. You have Kluber, Kluber's just like, he needs to get his command back to be good, or else he's screwed because he doesn't have those extra ticks anymore on his pitches. And then, like, you know, Herman, Monty's good, but Herman, Davey, you know, they don't necessarily go deep into games. Well, Davey went to seven innings twice last year, but...
Davey actually went pretty deep a few times. He was able to give length when he was pitching, which was very nice to see at the time, but...
Yeah, but either way, like, the bullpen's going to get burned out because you'll have Seve, Kluber, Taillon in the rotation. And they can't go deep into games this year. Not just because the Yankees probably won't even let them. So, you know, our bullpen's going to get burned out. And, you know, hedging your bets on Seve coming back and being a number two starter probably is a bad idea. I think you can expect him to be like a number three, number four. But, like, I don't think you can expect him to be, you know, Garrett Cole's, you know, wingman here. I think that's just a bad idea. You know, you need to get proven players in this league, especially during a championship window. I mean, like, you know, the I mean, just like, this isn't how you, you know, win. You know, you don't win with question marks all throughout your rotation.
If you want to see how to win, look at the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, pitching does win. I mean, and the Dodgers won a World Series, and they just got Bauer. They just, like I didn't want Bauer just because, like, he's, you know, the worst. But, like, I don't
know. I would have taken him if Cashman wanted him, though. I mean, well, I wouldn't have objected too much.
Yeah, that would have been just a nightmare from a media perspective. But,
well, that's different, yeah.
But, like, you know, you see, like, Yu Darvish was available, Lance Lynn was available, Bauer was available, you know, even someone like, you know, Tanaka was still available.
There were guys out there for Cashman. The reality is, he either A, couldn't afford some of them because of Hal's mandate, not to not go over the tax, or B, he felt that Kluber was a better option than, let's say, Tanaka or Lynn, which was obviously not smart. And I will say this, it could still work out. He can prove me wrong. It's very early still. Kluber, for all we know, in a month from now, Kluber's going to start getting the command back and we see a whole new pitcher that we're thrilled with. But regardless, it's a very risky bet. And it was a risk I was willing to take. Like, I'm not going to lie and pretend I wasn't content coming into spring training, because I was. I really was. I felt that if you have 9 to 10 question marks, let's say, that you can throw at the rotation, my thought process was you were bound to get 2 at the very least that could work out. And I still think Tyone is going to work out. I do. And Kluber could still work out. He could. But again, it's the risk we took, and we're going to have to hope it works because there's no reinforcements coming. Cashman's not making any deadline trades. I can promise you that, unless it's someone making like major league minimum. Otherwise, it's not happening.
Yeah, just like this is. I think Tyone will be good, like you said. Like,
he's going to take some time. That's all. That's fine. If Nick as long Nelson as we is see
starting
it.
Starting tonight. Just saw that.
He is. Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. That's an opener. That's an opener. But yeah. Yeah. Baseball. Fucking. I almost lost my train of thought there, but yeah, I think Tyone will be good. But Kluber, he just like he looks very hittable in ways that, you know, that he used to never look that way. But you know, it's just, let's hope that he gets it back. I think he hit 93 a few times the other day. But like,
you know, velo is actually going up. Like it's steadily going up so far. Right now, last start, it was the highest. Yes, it is a command issue. The velo is not even that far off from his prime at all, based on last start. Like, he was hitting 93 quite a bit. That's, and for him, that's pretty big. So, the stuff is there for the most part. It's just all about command right now, and it's weird because in the past, I feel like even when his command was off, he can still kind of battle through, but so far we haven't seen that quite yet. As for why, I'm not totally sure yet. I'm hoping we get an answer to that though next start. You know, whether it's, I'll take just slight improvement right now. I mean, if he goes 5 innings, gives up 3 runs, I take it right now. Like, I'm just looking for signs of improvement just so I can be at least somewhat optimistic about the long-term outlook. And because the reality is, that's what we're all worried about, the long-term outlook with these guys. So
he hasn't just show me gotten something out of the Kluber. Fourth inning yet, which is
I mean, that's my point. And I'm gonna be honest, it's a little worrying, not just because of the fact that he's not giving length, but just for the health of these guys. You got to build them up enough. Like, you can't keep having them throw 60 pitches, 65 70 tops. I mean, they got to get to that 80 85 mark at some point if you're gonna get them to actually throw innings consistently. That's just the way it is.
This is not a good rotation right now.
Right now, at least. But
no matter what, though, even if Kluber gives up 15 runs his next outing, Aaron Boone will be supportive and say that he likes his stuff. So He likes everyone's stuff. I think we could get little.
He likes everybody's stuff.
To throw 10 runs, to give up 10 runs, and we could still have Boone saying that he likes Tom's stuff out there. So the day that he doesn't like Tom's stuff is going to be remarkable.
I would never give up 10 runs.
Yes, you would.
I think you would.
No, I wouldn't. Unless it's in Colorado, then anything's fair game.
But, well, yeah. I will say, looking towards this upcoming series that starts tonight against the Rays at home, I think this is the big...
We haven't recapped the previous two series, sir.
Ugh, damn it. I don't even want to talk about these series. I want to look ahead.
Let me do it.
No, I got this. I got this. It's going to be therapeutic.
Go for it.
All right. I'm going to let it all out.
Fire away.
All right. We start with the Rays at the Trop, the home where we hate to go. My God, what did you expect? I said last time we were talking about this, the Yankees are going to win 2 out of 3, maybe even sweep. The matchups are all in our favor. We got this, guys. But guess what? Nope. First game of that series does not go well, and the Rays kick our asses, man. They show some of that offensive power against Corey Kluber. Willie Adames with an RBI double to drive in one. He had a couple sack flies, and you know what? At first, we battled back pretty well. We're down 2-0, and you have Giancarlo Stanton driving in Tyler Wade, who actually got on base. Now, that's a miracle right there. And then you have Aaron Hicks with a two-run homer, and it wasn't just a two-run homer. It was a two-run homer from the right side, something you don't see as often with Hicks. So, you know what? I was feeling pretty good. But guess what? The Rays come right back, baby, in the bottom of the third. Randy Arozarena doing some damage. Joey Wendell, Brandon Lau. It just kept going. Nick Nelson was getting hit, too. Lucas Litke was getting hit. And next thing you know, the Yankees are down 10-4. Not a pretty sight at all. And then after that, DJ LeMahieu hits a homer in the eighth inning, his first of the season to make it 10-5. But that's how it finishes. 10-5, Yanks lose. A fun game.
Now, has Nick Nelson always been on the roster this entire time before a start today?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We never brought him in for, like, a full week?
He was out for a while, I think.
Oh, my God. What the hell, man? All right.
I know.
This series sucked. What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Second game coming up.
Honestly, you can just speed through this.
I got this. Second game of the series, again, Rays kind of take a dominant route again. Not looking good for the Yanks here. We go
this
into
was the
this.
Domingo game, wasn't it?
Yes. We go in with Domingo starting, and guess what? The tone is set right off the bat with the leadoff homer from Austin Meadows. Yikes. Not a pretty sight for Domingo. He goes into that, but he gets out of it with just one run in the first inning, and I'm thinking, you know what? He can settle down here. He's got this. But nope, he gives up another 3 runs. And 2 of them came off a Francisco Mejia single, and the other came off a Randy Arozarena homer. The best player in all of baseball, apparently, at least when we face him. Yikes. And guess what the Yankees did? They did nothing. 5 hits, no runs. Those hits came from DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, Brett Gardner, and Gary Sanchez. But the bullpen, though, looked pretty good. Justin Wilson, 1 innings pitched, 2 strikeouts. Loaisiga went 2 innings pitched. He gave up no runs. Luis Sessa pitched a clean inning. The bullpen continues to shine throughout the series. But guess what? It means nothing if the bats don't hit. Yanks lose 4-0. Yikes again.
Really good game there.
Well, game 3, things change a bit. And it took a little too long for them to change, but you know what? They did, though. Mike Zunino leads off that game with a dinger in the second inning. Not so fun for Jordan Montgomery, who starts that game. Yikes. The stuff is not there for him, but guess what? He does what good pitchers do. He grinds, baby. G. Urshela ties it up.
It's 2-2.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I would know. Now, Gio Urshela, two-run dinger, ties that up. Aaron Hicks with a ground ball to make it 3-2 Yanks. But Rosarena again. Another home run in the series. And the Yankees are down 4-3 with Jordan Montgomery still pitching. And you know what? All things considered, though, he kept us in the game. Jordan Montgomery did a fine job overall. Five innings pitched, four earned runs. It could have got a lot worse in the end. And from there on out, the Rays could not do much against the Yankees bullpen. And it was just a continuous battle of nothing throughout the game. But do you know who the hero was, Tom? Do you know who the Yankees hero was?
Albert Abreu.
Oh, no.
Ooh, Sned.
Rugie, baby. Rougned Odor with a single to give us the lead in the 10th inning. For once, that runner on second rule works. It was beautiful. Gary Sanchez hits enough, he drives in a run with a beautiful looking single. Gio Urshela gets a run in, and then gets a run in that 10th inning. And man, Gio was looking hot. 4-for-5. It was good vibes in Yankees land in that 10th inning. He did. It was a 450-foot blast, and the Yankees end up winning 8-4. And even in that game, despite us winning, you can feel it. We still weren't right yet. You can tell we were not there yet. And it shows in the next series, which we will break down right now.
Fire away.
Yankees versus Blue Jays at home. We're finally – actually, wait, no, we're not at home. I forgot. Oopsie.
They don't even have a home.
Yeah, Blue Jays don't even have a home. Pretty upsetting, honestly. I'm pretty shocked that Springer signed there, considering that. But you know what? He did.
Money talk.
He's playing because he hurt. Money does talk. That entire Blue Jays team is hurt. They're like the 2019 Yankees right now. But guess what? It didn't stop them from kicking our asses. No, no, no. The Yankees win the first game of the series 3-1. And you know why we won that game? Tell me, Tom. You know it.
Higgy.
Higgy, baby. Two dingers from Higgy. He was the offense for the entire game. And the only reason why those three runs held up from Higgy's two home runs is because Garrett Cole was on the mound. And pretty Garrett good. Cole didn't even look right. He looked pretty off.
He did.
But even with that, he got 8 strikeouts. He went 6 innings. And then the bullpen followed him up. Damn it, Tom. You can't keep repeating what I'm saying. The bullpen follows him up with 3 clean innings from Justin Wilson, Darren O'Day, and Aroldis Chapman showing off the splitter again. My God, that pitch is nasty. So the Yankees win 3-1.
Really great pitch at the end of that game. Very good strike call by the umpire.
Oh, yeah.
Very,
I remember
very
that.
Good. Very good. Very good job by that umpire. Totally hit the bottom part of the zone.
I think we know where these next two games are going, so here we go.
Yeah, and the shitter.
Second game of the series, Yankees versus Blue Jays. I'm going to have to look at the recap on this one as I go through because I actually didn't get to watch a ton of this game. But it was not a pretty sight for Jameson Taillon, giving up 4 runs in the 5 runs in the first 4 innings. Not a pretty sight for Taillon. He got Taillon'd. And actually, the stuff didn't look horrible throughout the game. Say, he did look decent from the clips I saw. But it wasn't enough, clearly, as the Blue Jays did some damage. Missing his spots consistently. The command was not quite there yet for him. And in the end, the Yankees' bats did not do enough to even come close. The final score of this game... Yep, the final score of this game was 7-3, and the 3 runs came from a Rougned Odor ground out, and the other 2 came from a Giancarlo Stanton single. Man, it was a rough game. It was not fun.
Clint got a hit in this game, though.
He did, but it doesn't matter because he's not starting.
We'll get into that after you recap this. But I do have to say about this game is that the umpire was so bad.
Yeah, I heard about it. It did not sound good at all.
It was awful. Full balls off the plate in called strikes. Just ridiculous.
Not good. It's not good look. Well, time final game of the series. Let's wrap this up. Yankees make it close, but it was not enough in this game. Who do we have on the mound? It is our guy, Corey Kluber, giving up 3 earned runs over 4 innings pitched. Gave up 2 dingers. Not what you want to see, as Joe Girardi would always say. Aaron Judge, though, he had a good game. The guy had 2 dingers. Gave us 2 runs from him. And then after that, well, the offense just came from Gio Urshela, who continues to have a pretty decent season, actually. One of the few guys on this team, actually, making me somewhat happy. Unfortunately, you have guys like Alejandro Kirk and Bo Bichette ruining it for us. So, you know, not good vibes in Yankees land. You go into bad the ninth vibes. Inning. Bad vibes. You go into that ninth inning tie game 4-4, and Bo Bichette takes Chad Green deep. And I just want to point this out. Chad should not have been in that spot. It should have been Chapman, but, you know, whatever. It's okay. We're probably going to lose anyway because the Yankees can't hit. But, you know, if anything, it kind of made the suffering a little quicker. So, good job. Good job.
Yeah, Yankees lose 5-4. You don't want to lose without using your best reliever.
And absolutely.
That's exactly what we did. And you're right. Chapman was a better fit for that. And then if you took the lead in the 10th, you could have just had Green come in and close. But
exactly.
But like logic doesn't apply here.
It does not apply here at all.
I will say 2-4.
So far, the few positives we've seen rather from this Yankees team, I will go into a couple of them. Not many, but there are a few. Aaron Judge is still raking, so I guess that the side isn't bothering him much, which is good
and
to
he's
see.
Not dead.
Yeah, he's not dead. That's confirmed. So, to this point, he is batting .308. He's got an OPS in the 1.0s, 4 home runs. It's what you want to see from Aaron Judge so far. And outside of him, you got Gary Sanchez still raking. Definitely, you needed to see that to open the year. He needed a hot start. That's what we said going into the season. And so far, we've gotten it. The guy has an .846 OPS, .265 average, and 2 home runs. And from a catcher, that's more than enough, especially when you also have Higgy doing his thing. Because anytime Cole's pitching to Higgy, he becomes a god. It's like the rule. It's the Cole effect. He makes everybody better. I guess it's kind of how it works, right?
Yep. He's very good.
And I'll also point out DJ LeMahieu. He's been a mixed bag. I'll say this.
Yeah.
Because the numbers are not bad on DJ. They're not. I think part of the problem is that he spoiled us a bit these last 2 years. And I'm a little worried about how Yankee fans are going to handle it if he gets a little worse. Because it's very possible. And I'm not saying that because I don't believe in DJ at all. It's just, it's tough to maintain what he was doing. Let's be honest about it. The guy had 1,000 OPS last year.
Yeah, I won't 1,000. Do that.
He bet .364. That's a tough thing to do.
Yeah,
it's a tough thing to do.
I think his OPS will be in like the late 8s.
And that's fine. That's what he was. That's exactly where he was at in 2019. 2019 at an .893. So if he's in that .860, .870 range at the very least, I think you're cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's consistently doing his thing. Because that's what you need from DJ. That's what I like about him always. He's consistently giving you good at-bats, and he's going to always have a chance to drive in a run. And that's the one issue we've had with him so far. He's been a little inconsistent, and he's not driving in runs when given chances. So I would say if he can just improve on that a little bit, I'll be cool with him.
Improve on the launch angle.
Yes, avoid the ground balls. And that's precisely why, by the way,
with the double plays.
That's why I don't want him batting third, like some people say. Like, I don't want to see the double plays, because the reality is that he hits ground balls a lot, even when he's going right, because that's just the way he is. And it's fine, because he knows when to hit ground balls, in the sense that if he sees an opening to the right side, he'll shoot a grounder that way if he knows he can. Like, that's DJ smart that way. But in general, though, it's not smart to have a guy like that batting third, because you're going to run that risk a lot for double plays. So he needs to stick in the leadoff spot for me, probably. But if he really starts raking like he was last year, then fine. Whatever. I don't care where you bat him. But we'll see what happens there. Do you guys have any thoughts on the Yankees hitters that I mentioned doing good, or do you want to move on?
Eddie? Eddie.
I mean, your Judge can't complain. Can you guys not hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good, good, good. Yeah, Judge, you know, I think it was our last show where we were kind of concerned about Judge's side injury, and I think we were fair.
I'm going to be honest, I kind of feel bad now. I feel a little bad, because you shit on him pretty bad, but it really might have been nothing.
You know what? It's probably true, but with his past, like, it's not unreasonable, because...
No, you're right.
All I can think back to is, I think, was it last year where we played Atlanta, and he got taken out of the game early, and Boone was like, oh, we just want to take him off his feet. And then, like, 2 days later, he was on the injured list, and then Boone was like, oh, it's going to be a 10-day thing. Coming back after 10 days, game one, he's back on the injured list. This, the history, it makes, and then with Boone's lying, which is, we talked on about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
It's fair to be concerned about him, but...
No, you're right.
Yeah, he's looked good. Can't complain at all. You, another thing I've been noticing with the lineup is, like, the Gerrit Cole game, where he pitched great. Like, we've been carried, basically, by one hitter, you know? Like, one guy might have a big game. Higashioka hits two home runs. We win the game 3-1 off his Gio with the huge game. Judge with the two home runs that we won, but he did basically keep us in the game with his offense. We need more of a harmony of our lineup getting going. I want to see a few guys. Not Judge has a great game. Stanton, Hicks, Glaber. Glaber's been bad. They all go 0-for-4, and we lose 5-2, which just seems like has been happening, you know? Guys have to get the same page with their hot streaks.
I'm really concerned about Glaber. Like, I'm genuinely... Like, I could be irrational, but I've been worried about him since last year, and I'm still genuinely worried about his offense. I'm not saying he, like, oh, he's never going to be 2019 Glaber again, but, like, keep in mind where our heads were at after 2019. We were on the page of, this is not the best of Glaber. He's going to take it to an even higher level, and we have yet to even see him repeat his 2019 level. So far... it's just pretty discouraging to see. It's not good. It's not what you want at all from Glaber. And, you know, you really got to see more from him, because keep in mind, we're going into an offseason where you're going to have a huge class of big offensive shortstops. And if you decide to move on with Glaber as your shortstop, then you better be damn sure that this guy is going to be the man you expected him to be in 2019 and beyond, because... You're going to be passing on names like Corey Seager, Trevor Story, Correa, Javier Baez. Like, those are all big names that you'd be passing on for someone that might not even be an incredible hitter. And again, I'm not going to say he can't be, because he obviously can be, but I can't help but be a little worried. Do you guys feel that way at all? Or?
I mean, not necessarily worried. I'm just more like frustrated right now. Because, like, we're just, like, we're waiting for people to get hot. It would be nice for Glaber to get hot. It would be nice for Giancarlo to get hot. It would be nice for just about everyone to get hot. But, like, it's been, you know, what, this Werner second week now. And it's just, like, let's break out of the slumps now and just play good baseball. And, you know, 5-7, we're not by any means out of it or anything. Thank God the rest of the AL East isn't great right now. It's just, and you see a lot of players throughout the league struggling offensively, but, like, our guys are too good to be held down for long. You know, it's time for, you know, Glaber to step up, Giancarlo to step up, et cetera, et cetera. You know, DJ's got to be better with runners in scoring position specifically. You know, Hicks needs to step up from the left side. He looks good from the right side. It's just everyone needs to step up their game just a little bit. Even the players that have good offensive numbers probably aren't the best, have screwed us in different ways, maybe defensively.
It's really weird, because we do have some guys doing good, But at the same time, it feels like no one is doing good. Because, like you said, they have so many games where they just suddenly forget how to hit. And it's so weird because this team is just so hit or miss with their players in terms of the games they have. Like, it's never, from what I see, like, it's usually not a, oh, this guy's either going to have a pretty okay game. It's no, this guy's either going to fucking destroy the ball today, or he's going to have no clue where the ball's going. Like, that's kind of where my head's at when I watch these guys.
Yeah, just be better, please. Can we please be better? I want to. You know, our offense is just too good for this shit. Like, it's too good. Too good for this.
Yeah.
Like, stop sucking. Thank you.
And, you know, just looking at the stats, they kind of support what I was saying. Like, you have the big guys, Judge with 1,000 OPS, and you have Sanchez and DJ in the 800s. But you go past that, you don't have any guys in the average range of, like, the 700s. It's just, like, 800s and above, and then below 700, 600s, 500s. Like, it's there's none of those guys that are just doing okay. It's just you're doing really good or you're doing really shitty.
Yeah, that's it. You're either Jay Bruce or you're Aaron Judge, and there's like no one.
Yeah, right, that's what I mean.
Like, stop sucking. God damn, this you pissed me off now because
I'm just sorry, awesome. But this offense. Would you like to preview this upcoming series?
Well, I do have one last thing to say before we can preview this upcoming series.
Yeah.
Fucking my God. I think we got into this a little earlier, but like...
We did a bit, because I think Clint, I know what you're going to say.
Clint's the left fielder, but he's not the left fielder, so why would you say he was the left fielder? If you didn't want him to be the left fielder, you want Gardner to be the left fielder. But you said Clint was going to be the left fielder, so it makes us all confused as to who the left fielder is.
Left is, yeah.
I don't care that he went 0 for 17. I don't care that he went 0 for 17. You want to know why? Because Giancarlo went like 0 for 20. And you know what? You don't see Giancarlo looking behind his back waiting for fucking Mike Ford to come up and take his job. No! Fuck! It's like, how do you expect the kid to fucking play well when he's got Brett Gardner breathing down his back at any sign of trouble? That is not how you develop a player. I don't care if he's 26. I don't care if he's 22. I don't care if he's 30. That's just not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it.
I'll say this.
Not done.
Continue.
Okay. So, Tuesday has two really nice back-to-back at-bats to end the game. He gets screwed by the umpire in a walk because obviously we had a bad umpire. The ball was a full ball inside. And then the next at bat against David Phelps, he hits a ball 107 miles an hour off his back for a single and fucking takes Phelps out of the game. All right? He's looked better defensively. All right? He's making all the plays right now, right? So what do you do? You think you would reward him by getting him that next game, right? Especially since you sat him 2 out of 3 games in Tampa. But no. Brett Gardner has to play. Brett Gardner has to play. Why? Why does Brett Gardner have to play? If you want Brett Gardner to play, just play him for fucking Hicks. Stop punishing Clint Frazier. You're not treating him like a player who's going to be here much longer. And if you didn't want him to be here much longer, you didn't need to commit to him. But you committed to him. If you didn't want him to be here, you should have traded him. Like, what the fuck? If you didn't want him to be here, you had plenty of opportunities in the past to trade him. Okay? I don't understand why now Clint isn't the future left fielder. You kept him around all these years for a reason. He cleaned up his act, cleaned up his defense. He actually has good discipline now. He has power. I don't understand what the problem is here. What's the problem? Why is Brett Gardner? Why? Why?
Two answers.
Why? Why? No. I have one last point. One last point. Then you can jump in. I know exactly why Aaron plays Brett Gardner. It's his comfort.
They're dating. Oh, never mind.
It's a comfort thing. It is a comfort thing. He will not let Clint Frazier get a fair shot because Brett Gardner is safe and reliable. Okay? And Clint Frazier is the wild child of this lineup. Okay? Anytime Clint struggles, you can get concerned. Anytime the rest of the lineup struggles, they don't bat an eye about getting replaced. Clint Frazier fucking has to look behind his back because Brett Gardner's right there. It's bullshit. That's bullshit. That's not how you develop a player. Okay, you can go now.
I'll say that the leash needs to be longer guaranteed. I'm not saying
I'm not saying he was good. He was terrible. He's been terrible.
I know. I'm aware. I'm just saying. I agree with you.
Like, I'm just saying everyone else has been terrible.
Short. Yeah. The leash for Frazier cannot be as short as it is so far.
It cannot be 17 at-bats.
Like, if you want to say, oh, the leash is a month, like, if it's a month and this guy's still not hitting and you want to play Gardner more, you know what? Even that's a little short, but fine. At least that's a little more reasonable. But, yeah, I mean, a little over a week, you're going to start playing Gardner more.
So,
I mean,
four at-bats per game. Four at-bats per game, that. Right? Four. Eight,
I can.
12,
I think I know what
16,
the problem
that
is.
That is four baseball games. Four baseball games.
I can
games.
Tell you what the problem is right now. If the Yankees offense was actually doing good and Clint Frazier was in that lineup not doing much, then I guarantee you Boone does not make the move for Gardy quite as much. Because Tom,
Jay Bruce is hitting 100
Tom,
right now.
Tom,
and
I'm not done.
The problem? All right. And you're betting Jay Bruce sixth.
You did not even let me finish, but okay.
Oh, you can finish. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that you got to think of it this way. When your team's winning and you have the offense hitting that so well, it's all good vibes, and you're not giving a shit if you have a couple players struggling, because at that point it's being masked by the rest of the team doing so well. But when you have the team on this fucking downward spiral, Boone and ownership is just looking for any fucking answer to ignite this offense. So I think part of the reason why Gardy is playing so much is that the Yankees are so desperate to get any fucking offensive productivity from the lineup. And they know Gardy has his little weird spurts of 1 week where he gets hot, hits a couple homers, and goes off for some reason. So they're just trying to hope he can have one of those weeks, get the Yanks some wins, and that when the offense goes back to normal, hopefully Clint would get in there more than Gardy again. But I think right now they're just testing the waters and throwing shit at the wall. And you can just tell they're doing that by not just the left field situation, but just with the entire lineup. Like, they're trying out a bunch of new orders, a bunch of new guys at different spots. Like, it's a whole ordeal they're doing in an attempt to just change things up. So I think that is the big of why Clint is not playing every day. That's what I think, at least.
Well, that's bullshit.
I'm not saying
that's
it's right.
Bullshit.
I'm just saying. I think
bullshit.
I'm not saying it's right. But do you agree that could be why, though?
You know,
I think that's why. I'm just wondering, do you think that's a realistic possibility for what is happening? I think it is, but
anything is fair game with Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, because they've got their fucking thumbs up their asses half the time. Okay? This is not the way to do it. This is bullshit. Alright? Everyone knows it. Everyone knows it.
This hurts Tom.
This is
more than anyone on the team.
It was literally hitting fourth for you last year. It was so good, he was hitting cleanup and fucking at a 900 OPS. So, fuck me.
Too bad that was last year.
Too bad it was last year. Then I guess everyone should be benched then, huh, if we're going to have that attitude. Fucking 17 at-bats, and he sits two-thirds of the Tampa series. Then he sits, what? How many games did he sit in Toronto? He sat a game in Toronto. So he missed half the games in this road trip? Half the games! Sounds like a platoon
to
me.
I think the biggest problem is that Hicks needed to sit one of the games instead of Clint, like you said. Because I think, like, it's cool if you really want to play Gardner right now for the intent of trying to get some offensive spark. You want to get him in there 2 out of 3 games in a series? Fine. If you're going to do that, sit Clint for one, sit Hicks for the other, and then you have your two games for Guardy's playing. Perhaps a tiny bit.
All right. I'm just, you know, I don't blame you. But yes.
I'm really hungry. I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, yes. And also, Judge needs his occasional rest, too. You just put Clint in right and Gardner in left. Just fucking stop sitting Clint. Why is Clint the scapegoat? Clint Madden. And also, you would think that after having 2 back-to-back really good at-bats at the end of Tuesday's game, that Boone would reward him and say, hey, let's hope you can keep this stringing along. Right? Let's play him on Wednesday. No! He's sitting! And then there's a day off yesterday, so now he has 2 straight days off. He's already cold again. What the... What? I don't understand. I don't understand. All right, I'm getting squeaky because this just pisses me off. I just don't understand. The same organization that just keeps jamming Jay Bruce down our throats, fucking washed up 33-year-old Jay Bruce, who can't hit shit. He can't hit shit. 2 double plays the other day. 2 double plays. I believe 2 strikeouts. He fucking sucks, right? And he's batting him 6-7. Meanwhile, you got Clint, 26 Question. Years old. Had a good year last year. And you bat him 9th and he's a fucking problem?
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Is Clint the lefty?
Oh my God, what the lefty? I would rather have 9 consecutive right-handed batters than ever let Jay Bruce play baseball for my team again.
I would rather have 8 of them be right-handed and the other one have no hands.
And the other one be Hicks. Oh, well, same thing. This is... Well, that makes no sense. You're worried about like, aesthetics more than you're worried about, like, actual good baseball players right now. You're worried about
fucking...
It looks prettier with the lefties in the lineup. Well, you know what doesn't look pretty?
I like pretty
Jay Bruce's swing doesn't look pretty.
Bang. All right. Do you just want to get into this fucking series preview?
Yes, let's go for it. Fucking play Clint 2 out of 3, you bastard.
Well, first game of the series tonight, 7:05 start. It will be the opener, Nick Nelson, likely followed by Mike King, who got recalled from the alternate site against Michael Wacha. And I'm willing to bet right now that Clint will start this game. I could be wrong, but I'm willing to bet he does, just because I think Boone knows. Because Boone is trying to walk this fine line where it's not totally clear that Guardy's playing more than him. So he knows if after 2 days of rest and Guardy playing 2 out of 3 in that last series, if he plays Guardy again to open the series, then at that point it's not even like, oh, I think so. It's like, no, he's the starting left fielder. So I think Clint will play for that reason. And if they're smart on Saturday, when we're likely facing Tyler Glass now, Clint will also start that game because he actually has a quick swing that could catch up to that velo, unlike Guardy,
who would never
hit that 100 miles per hour gas. Huh?
Some would say legendary.
It is legendary bat speed. Like, Guardy's not catching up to Tyler Glass now, so he better not be starting, honestly. Like, I don't care that he's a lefty. You got to keep in mind, the guy's almost 40, and he has never been good against velo like that. It's just not a good match.
Bullshit. This is...
And then the last Boone game of the series, we have...
Boone will probably find a way to throw him in there.
He might. You never know. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I honestly don't know what to expect from this series, but this is a big statement series, like I mentioned earlier. You need to win 2 out of 3. Like, it's not even like... You kind of should. It's you need to. Not because of the fact that it's a standings game. I mean, as a mental game. Like, if you lose against the Rays again, and this time at home, that's just a really shitty look. Like, how do you even bounce back from that if you're the Yankees after that? It's just not good at all. Like, I can't even comprehend how bad it would be. Like, that's how much it would worry me. win the series. Like, I don't need a fucking sweep. I just need us to win the series. And you don't even have to make it super pretty. Just actually show signs of life, unlike before. Like, give me indications that there's progress towards a end game for this offense. Show me some progress. That's all I ask, and win the series.
Win the damn series.
It's a simple ask.
Worst case, do not get swept. Please.
Oh my God, they get swept. Oh. At the very least, I think we'll win the cold start. Hopefully.
Well, because it seems like the only thing we can win right now.
That's what I'm saying. When Cole's on the mound, I have a lot of confidence. So I think we can definitely win that Sunday game. So it's very imperative that the Yankees win one of the first two. And realistically, if you're the Yankees, you got to aim to win this first game tonight, because it's Michael Wacha, who sucks. And even though we have an opener tonight, if they're actually not horrible offensively, need to do damage against Wacha, because Glasnow is going to be as tough as anybody they face all year. You will be lucky to get off two or three runs when the Yankees offense is going good. Right now, they'd be lucky to make fucking contact and put a ball in play, let alone score three runs. So win tonight, please.
They should just bunt every game.
Honestly, can we just like wave the white flag for that second game? Because I'm just thinking about like the pitchers we face so far and how we've looked against them, many of them being really bad. Think about how we're going to look against Glasnow on Saturday.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of
it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I just pictured it in my head. I saw Clint striking out. It's not good.
I fucking hate you. Is that what you say to a man who's down and out right now?
Sorry,
a man,
bud,
who's been beaten, broken, tortured, burned at the stake by Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman. No, it's not what it is. All right. But yeah, what we got? Monty Cole, someone Tuesday, someone Sunday.
You got Nelson today, Monty tomorrow, and Cole on Sunday.
I got you. So Monty, yeah, Nelson, Monty, Cole, we need 2 out of 3. Win today, win one of the next two, and you got a series win. And hey, great job, guys! And then the season series with Tampa is actually tied, because we lost 2 out of 3 last week, then we win 2 out of 3 this week. And our season series is tied. Then we play Atlanta, who's been struggling. Cleveland is good, but they're not great. Then we play Baltimore, Detroit, Houston, Washington, yada, yada, yada.
You've seen the stamp.
Yes.
The Royals are in first place.
Yes, they are actually a very interesting baseball team.
And the Mariners are in first place in the West.
It's very,
what the fuck?
That's baseball, Susan. But, you know, fucking just get hot. The players that have been struggling need to get hot. Giancarlo, Glaber, DJ a little bit, Hicks, Clint. Just start hitting. Jay Bruce, just go fuck yourself. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else to say. Because I think...
much.
I think
kind of covered everything we need.
Gary's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we talked about
actually.
That.
I can't even hate on Gary now. So
not right now, at least.
Not right now. Yeah.
The base running error the other day wasn't great.
That was horrible.
But then again, Higgy the next day fucking olayed a pitch in the dirt. So like, both of our catchers did something to cost us deeply.
I'll say
because
this.
That's what bad baseball
teams
do.
Higgy has a different style. Usually it works. That time it didn't for once. Because he doesn't usually need to move his whole body on pitches like that. He just kind of whiffed for once. It was weird. That was just a weird fluke. Like Gary, that was just Gary being Gary. That was versus Higgy fucking up. To me, there's a difference.
I think Gary just fucked up too.
I'll disagree.
I don't think Gary... Does Gary get picked off much? I don't think he does.
No, it's more about him not being necessarily mentally there as a baseball player always.
Mm.
Kind of like Glaber.
Glabruth.
I hate that name.
Hmm.
Don't like it.
Glabruth?
I don't like the name.
You don't like Glabruth?
I can't like Babe Ruth when he's not, when he can barely hit a baseball. I just can't. I can't. I haven't seen this guy consistently hit in 2 years, so I just can't hear it right now.
It's not actually his name, you know.
I'm aware.
It's actually Glaber Torres.
I know.
That's okay. Everyone loves Glabruth.
I'm very down on him still.
The defense needs to clean up, yeah. But, yeah. He's been a little better. Just make all the routine plays and stop letting the ball play you.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you. Love you.
Is there anything else?
Eddie, is there anything else?
Let's not suck and let's go Yankees.
That was, I would run through a brick wall for that man, folks. I would. Yeah. Let's not suck. Let's play good baseball. Everyone hit. Bullpen, keep doing your thing. Starting pitchers, give some length. That's what she said. And, you know, fucking stop sucking and cut Jay Bruce, please. Cut Jay Bruce. Like that, I would rather cut Jay Bruce than ever win another baseball game again. My hatred of Jay Bruce just runs through my veins, deep into my bones. Just like it's in my blood now. I hate you, Jay Bruce. I don't hate Jay Bruce the person. I just hate Jay Bruce the baseball player. And I just want him to know that it's nothing personal. It's just you've done a personal attack on me by being bad at baseball, and I just don't want to see it on my baseball team anymore. But I still like you as a person. You did a good job mentoring Clint. Saw that. So be a bench coach, Jay Bruce. Thank you.
All right. I think I covered everything that I wanted to. Anything else left?
I've got nothing. Mostly because I can't think. I'm dumb. But whatever. Eddie, is there anything for you, little buddy?
No, I think that's it.
Could you say we covered all the bases?
We did.
Indeed.
I like that.
And
boom.
Well, this has been a pleasure as always. I am looking forward to the game tonight as well as the rest of the series. Hopefully we can spread some good vibes next episode instead of wanting to cry.
Well, I missed most of it today's game.
Yeah, I'll probably catch most of tonight's actually. Tomorrow I'm probably going to miss it, but we'll see. But I will let you know.
I have no life, so I'm just going to watch all three games.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, well, as always, this has been another great episode, and I will see you both next time. Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
See you.